Habakkuk chapter 1. Let's pray. Father God, we praise you for how awesome you are. And Father, in our lives, it seems sometimes we don't get that. It seems sometimes we get caught up with our own little world and we miss how awesome you are. Help us, Father, now too. And I pray, Lord, during these next few moments, we might be reminded that we serve a great God. Help us, Lord, learn to trust you and to wait on you. For we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You remember there was a show on, and I really don't know if it's still on. But it used to be on TV. Tommy, could you turn these mics off, please? Tommy's running the mics for us this morning. There used to be a show on TV called Family Feud. And you remember that show? I don't know if it's still on, but is it still on? All right. Some of you watch it. Okay. So then you remember on Family Feud, I hope you do more than just watch TV shows, but you remember on Family Feud, they'd come on and they would ask questions, and then, you know, they'd check the survey to see what the survey said. And here's some of the things that they got on the show from the contestants with the statements. Listen to these. Name something a blind person might use. Answer, a sword. Name a bird with a long neck. Answer, a penguin. Name something that floats in the bath. Answer, water. Name a number you have to memorize. Answer, 7. Phone number, house number, you know. Got to help. Name something that flies that doesn't have an engine. I love this one. Dishes. Name a famous bridge. The bridge over troubled waters. Name a continent. Italy. If you don't get that one, your more school will help. Name an animal you might see at the zoo. A dog. Name a kind of ache. A pancake. Name a part of the body that begins with the letter N. Knee. Now, I don't understand some of those answers. I mean, I don't know where they got them from. I don't. You know, you ever sit back and you watch these shows and you think to yourself, where do they get these people from? I mean, where do they get them from? Habakkuk, we saw last Sunday morning, he was looking at his world. And he looked out at his world, and as he looked at his world, he saw that his world was wicked and evil. His world was full of sin. And as he looked at it, he turned to God, and he turned and he asked God, how long am I going to have to look at this? How long am I going to have to look at this wickedness and sin and evil that's in the world? God finally answered him. God said that he would bring judgment on the Israelites for their sin. He would confront their sin. But God gives Habakkuk the answer, and the answer made Habakkuk more confused than ever. His question of how long, God, changed to is maybe something you've said to God. Why? Why, God? Why is this happening in my life? Why am I dealing with this, God? Why don't you do something about that? God, why? Well, we see this beginning in chapter 1 of Habakkuk in verse 12. Habakkuk, we see his confusion with God's answer. Beginning in verse 12, Habakkuk, in responding to God's answer, Habakkuk had asked God, how long do I have to look at this sin? God says, look, I'm going to take care of it. I'm going to send the Babylonians to Judah, the southern portion of Israel, and they will bring my judgment upon the Israelites. Habakkuk does not understand this. It confuses him. And I want you to note that his confusion did not come from not knowing God. His confusion came from knowing God. Some people don't know God, and man, they're as confused as ever. But I want you to know, sometimes the more we know God, the more we look at what God does and we get confused. We can't figure out God's ways. His knowledge of God caused him to be confused over what God was doing. So notice beginning in 12, he explains that to God. Verse 12, he says, O Lord, you are from everlasting. Meaning, O God, you are eternal. Do you understand that? You know, that picture I showed to my grandchild, you know, my grandchild in that picture is 6 weeks old. They are getting so amazing with these pictures. I can't wait for the next one that shows, you know, the fingers and everything. They're getting so great with what they can do that they can just about pinpoint the day that you are conceived. Do you know God never had a beginning day? God will never have an ending day. I mean, can you imagine that for a moment? No day where it began, no day where it finished. God's days are everlasting. They are eternal. Without beginning, without end. Not only is God eternal, but notice God is holy. He says, O Lord, are you not from everlasting? My God, my Holy One. We will not die. God is holy. The word simply means set apart from sin. Set apart from sin. What that means is that in God, there is nothing that is sinful. He is absolutely separated from sin. When we think of sin, sin is disobedience to God. It is not doing what we should do when we should do it, and it's doing what we shouldn't do when we shouldn't do it. There's a positive and a negative side. And he says to God, God, you're holy. God is eternal. God is holy. I want you to notice next, God is sovereign. O Lord, verse 12, you have appointed them to execute judgment. O rock, you have ordained them to punish. Speaking of the Babylonians, saying, God, you have worked in their lives, and they are the ones that you are bringing into our lives to punish us for our sin. You know, we look around at the nations and what's going on in Iraq and Afghanistan and around the world. I want you to know God is sovereign, which simply means that God is in control. He lifts one nation up and he brings another nation down. And we look at America and we say, you know, we live in an awesome, we live in a great country, and unless you're from Germany, of course. And then it's only good if it's German. But we live in a great and awesome country, right? I want you to know, God, boom, like that, we're no longer a country. God looks at our sinfulness. God looks at our wickedness. God looks at the evil in our country. And if God determines, it does not matter the size of our army. It does not matter the size of our tanks. If God determines to punish our sin, in that long, we could be gone because God is sovereign. So God, you're eternal. God, you're holy. God, you are sovereign, and you've picked the Babylonians to punish us. There's one more thing he says about God. Notice it's in verse 13. He says, your eyes are too pure to look on evil. You cannot tolerate the wrong. God is pure. The word pure is used of gold that is unmixed. In other words, if you take gold and you refine it, you make it of its the best quality you can make gold, and there's no things in it that would make it impure. He's saying that here of God. God, you are the purest of pure. You know, our problem sometimes is that we do not understand God. We look around and we really don't know who God is. You know, we think God's Santa Claus in the sky. We think God is just there to make us happy. And most of our thoughts and our thinking of God is wrong. But Habakkuk gets it right. God, you're eternal. God, you are holy. God, you are sovereign. God, you are pure. God, I know who you are. And as he thinks about who God is, follow along with me. I want you to know he begins to question God. There are three questions in this passage of God. Question number one, verse 13. Notice, why then do you tolerate the treacherous? Why are you silent with the wicked while the wicked swallow up those more righteous than themselves? Talking about Babylon, and he's saying, why does God tolerate Babylon? He had just been praying and asking and saying, God, why do you tolerate the wickedness of Israel? But now he looks at Babylon, he says, why do you tolerate them? Go back to verse 6, verse 7, verse 11 of this chapter. He talks of Babylon being full of pride and full of sin. Notice the second question. Why is God using Babylon to judge Israel? Notice verse 13. Why then are you silent while the wicked swallow up those more righteous than themselves? They are more wicked than Israel. Israel was a mess, but why use a nation that was more wicked than Israel to judge them? Confuse Habakkuk. Let me give you an example. Where's Tommy? Tommy's in nursery. All right, we can't use them. Savannah, could you stand up a second? Where's Ivy? Ivy's not here. Oh, Savannah, you got past. Kevin. Stand up, Kevin. Guess what? You're chosen. Now, you may not know it, but these two guys have, in a very real way, become brother and sister. Martin and Maritza, what's the technical term? Custodians. They have become custodians. What's your name again? They have become custodians and made the two of these pretty much brother and sister. Now, why don't you imagine for a moment that Kevin, he's a pretty rotten guy. Of course, you don't have to imagine much, right? Kevin's a pretty rotten guy. And Kevin's done some pretty rotten things. Boy, you know, we need a third brother or sister here somehow. they don't have one. Why don't you guys have another kid? We'll have to do the best we can. So Kevin's a pretty rotten guy. And I know who it is. Everybody thinks I don't know who Caitlin is. I'm just having fun with her. Caitlin goes to Martin Maritza and says, Kevin is a rotten guy, and he's doing rotten things, and he needs to be punished. Martin Maritza say, all right, we're going to punish him. But the punishment is going to come, since we don't have a third brother or sister, it's actually going to come through Caitlin. But I want you to know for a moment, she's worse than him. She's just awful. I mean, he may talk in church, but she never stops. He may do some rotten things, but I mean, she's... Boy, oh boy. I can't even begin. So think for a moment, if you're involved in this family and you see Kevin being punished, but then you look at it and you say, but wait a minute, why is Caitlin doing it when Caitlin's even worse than Kevin? Think about it, you're standing and watching, you're saying Kevin needs to be punished, but why is Caitlin going to do it when Caitlin's even worse? Now, that's not true. I'm just having fun with them. Maybe. So can you imagine that for a moment? That, where'd you come from? My brother's back from Afghanistan. When did you get in? Yesterday. All right. Yeah, you could sit down. That's what Habakkuk is saying. I don't understand. God, I want you to do something about Israel. But when I look at the Babylonians, man, they're worse. God, you're holy. God, you're eternal. God, you're sovereign. God, you're pure. Why are you tolerating them? Why are you using them? Now, if you're here this morning, I am not a betting person, at least not for money. At least not when I'm going to get caught. I'm just kidding. If I were a betting person, I would bet every single person here this morning, at one time or another in their life, maybe even right now, has asked that question, why? God, why has this happened in my life? God, why is this happening in my life? God, why is this what I'm going to look at? God, why haven't you changed this? God, why am I going through this? God, why couldn't things have been better? God, why does it have to be so bad? You know, why is this my husband or that my wife or these my kids? You know, God, why? God, since you are holy, since you are pure, since you are eternal, since you are sovereign, God, I do not understand why you are going to use the Babylonians to punish us. They are more wicked than we are. And if we are going to be punished for our wickedness, why use someone who's worse? Habakkuk didn't understand that. Then he asked a third question. Why does God allow Babylon to continue to swallow up nations around it? And that day, the Babylonians were the country, and they were just destroying everybody around them. They were swallowing up their countries. God, why are you allowing that to happen? Notice the illustration he uses. I love it. Beginning in verse 13, the middle, he says, why then do you tolerate the treacherous? Why are you silent while the wicked swallow up those more righteous than them? You have made men like fish in the sea, like sea creatures that have no ruler. The wicked foe pulls all of them up with hooks. He catches them in his net. He gathers them in his dragnet, and so he rejoices and is glad. Therefore, he sacrifices to his net and burns incense to his dragnet, for by his net he lives in luxury and enjoys the choicest foods. Is he to keep on emptying his net, destroying nations without mercy? The illustration is that of fishing. And basically, Habakkuk describes the Babylonians as having their nets full of fish. I want you to know, Friday night when I went fishing, I never experienced a night like that, where these big, huge fish were almost jumping on our hooks. And I mean, Tommy and I in our boat, we were just taking showers. They were just soaking us when we got them near the boat. Never experienced a night like that. And Habakkuk's describing the Babylonians as having their nets full of fish. Why God? So he's asked three questions. All three of these are basically why questions. They are questions that show his lack of understanding as to God's ways and what God is doing. And then after asking these questions, I want you to notice in chapter 2, verse 1, he says, I will stand at my watch and station myself on the ramparts. I will look to see what he will say to me and what answer I am to give to this complaint. God, I am full of whys. And I want to know why you are doing what you're doing. God, I don't understand. But I have given you my prayer. And now I'm going to kind of take a step back. I'm going to go and I am going to sit and I am going to wait on God. And I am going to wait to see what God says. I was hoping we'd have time this morning to look at God's answer. We're not going to have time to do that. But let me say this to you this morning. If you've had to deal with life, you've had why questions. You've had things that happen in your life that you really don't understand. That you kind of take who God is and you take what God is doing and you put the two together and you say, man, I don't understand this. Why was I born where I was born? Why am I in the family I'm in? You know, why do I have this physical problem, disease, ailment that I have? Why is my family a mess? Why aren't things better? God, why aren't you answering my prayer? And God, why aren't you changing my life? So often our whys are just really complaints to God. And what we're really saying, God, if I were in charge, I could do it better than you. God, if I were in charge, I know that everybody's life would be the way it ought to be, especially mine. We need to take that why and we need to change it. We need to change it with two words. First word is how. How? God, not why is this happening in my life, and God, why aren't you changing it? But God, how can I right here and now where I find myself bring you glory? God, how can I take my life right where it is at? Instead of complaining, how can I uplift your name? And in the midst of this, how can my life bring you glory? How can I use this for your glory and for your honor? And wait. We need to learn to wait on God. He says, I will stand on my watch and station myself at the ramparts. I will look to see what he will say to me and what answer I am to give to this complaint. God, here's my complaint, here's my thought, here's my what's going on in my life and my questions. God, I'm going to go over here and I'm going to stand my ground. I'm going to put myself where you want me, and I'm going to wait until you answer. There are many issues in the Bible that the Bible tells us we need to do and things that need to be part of our life, but I want you to know one of the big ones is learning to wait on God. Learning to trust God, learning to trust God's work in our life, learning to find ourselves in positions that maybe we would consider a mess, things that we want to change, and things maybe that never will change. But learning to wait till you've heard from God, from His Word, till you've heard God's move in your heart, till you've heard God's move in your life, till you find God's direction for you. Learning to wait on God's great work for you. God, how? Help me to learn to wait on you, that I may bring you glory right where I'm at. Let's pray. Father God, surely you are eternal. Surely you are sovereign. We know you are holy and pure. And therefore, Father, we know because you are so much different than we are. Your ways are above our ways. Your thoughts are above our thoughts. And even if we were where you are at, we would not do things the way you do because we would mess them up. And Father, we know you never mess up. We know that you're at work in our lives and you're working them all together for our good. We know that because you love us. And Father, we know that you don't mess up because you do everything perfectly. So even though we may go through hard days, we know, Father, your perfection is at work. So help us to learn to wait on you. Help us, Lord, to go from why to how. To go from complaint to trust. And I pray, Lord, as we learn how to bring you glory where we find ourselves, as we wait and learn to trust you and wait for your answer, I pray, Lord, that every moment of our life, you may be glad to be called our God. We pray in our precious and holy name of our Savior, Jesus. Amen. This time I'm going to ask our ushers to come forward as we take our morning offering. And let's pray. Father God, we thank you for your goodness and work in our lives. And we pray, Lord, as we seek to serve you, we pray, Lord, that through our giving, we would see great things happen. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. when we find ourselves in the kind of situations Habakkuk found himself, our tendency is to want to complain, as Habakkuk did. But what we really need to do is we need to, instead of pulling away from God, we need to pull closer to God. We need to come near Him. We need to pray like Habakkuk did and talk to God. And in our prayers, we need to draw to God. You know, when we go through problems and difficulties, especially when they last for many periods of time, our tendency is to turn away from God, get mad at God, argue with God. But I want you to know, God's ways are above our ways, and His thoughts are above our thoughts. And they are never wrong. And when we find ourselves going through these things, what we really need to be doing is we need to be crying out to God, God, I need Thee. Every hour I need Thee. I want you to take your hymn book once again. And I want you to turn to 428. I need